Loving Father, I thank you again for the number of weeks that we've enjoyed our study together and learning about our gifts that inspire us to service. Tonight, as we close our series, I pray that your Spirit will meet with us and will open our hearts and our minds, that those of us that are here tonight with this special gift of mercy might understand how important and how special this gift is to your church. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you for being with us throughout this series. And as we close tonight, I pray that each of us here might be challenged by what we hear, and that we might each one respect those among us who might have this gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we want to turn to our last of the seven motivational gifts, or our inner drives which motivate us to action, to ministry, and to service. These seven gifts that we've talked about over the last 7 weeks makes the church, God's church, whole or complete, meaning that there's no area of need or ministry in this world which cannot be met by the collective members of God's remnant church. And I think, again, we could say amen to that. God has not left His church without those motivating gifts that drive us, compel us into action for Him. The person in Scripture that we're going to talk about just for a few moments this evening, the person in Scripture that had the gift of mercy was John. Peter and John were often found in Scripture together, but John is the one who was the supportive person. Peter was rather overbearing at times, right? But John certainly was not that way. John was the supportive one. You'll recall after Gethsemane, all the disciples fled. They forsook Jesus. One of them hanged himself. Others hid in an upper room for fear of the Jews. The prophet Peter was found cursing and denying his Lord and Master. But John, the only one of the 12, we find him at the foot of Calvary's cross in mercy for his dying Lord and in mercy for Jesus' mother. The word merciful, as Jesus used it in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:7, means active compassion. On a couple of sermons that we've preached this last quarter or this last session, we've talked about the prodigal son. We've talked about the Good Samaritan. Both of those stories dealt with compassion. The prodigal son's father had compassion when he saw his son and ran, you'll recall, through the village streets and ran the gauntlet for his own son so that his son would not have to suffer undue shame and embarrassment. The father did it for him. That's active compassion. That's mercy. And the Good Samaritan, you'll recall also, had compassion on the naked individual that had been beaten, and he could not even tell who he was, what dialect he spoke, or what clothes he would have worn. He didn't know anything about this individual other than he had compassion and acted accordingly. So again, the word active compassion. It means one who shows tender mercy by word and in deed, and refers specifically to divine grace. Now think about that for a moment, beloved. Mercy is divine grace. It's compared to that. So when God has mercy on you and me, it's an extension of His divine grace being bestowed upon His children, which we call mercy. Mercy. Have mercy upon me. That's divine grace. Sometimes, men and women, particularly men, shy away from some of these gifts that we've talked about. Some men feel in particular that mercy is more of a feminine gift. It's the tear-jerking role, and I'm not one to shed tears over anybody or anything, or at least not in public. So men oftentimes shy away from this particular gift. Some women really have a hard time with them, with this particular gift, and don't like to show emotion either, believe it or not. Thank you. However, men in general have a hard time with mercy. They do not see it as a masculine gift, but rather feminine. This is not true, however, I might say, with any of the gifts, because God has given all seven of the gifts to both men and women, and that goes for prophet, for teacher, as well as for mercy. It's a gift that God has given for both men and women. Now, the person with the gift of mercy is the joy, may I say, of the body. They are the last of the seven. They are the undergirding, if you please, upon which all the others rest. This is the supportive gift of the body. And every other gift, may I suggest, needs mercy. Prophets need mercy. The exhorter definitely needs mercy around him. Especially when he begins to walk in the flesh, he needs a lot of mercy around him. So mercy, again, is, in a sense, the supportive gift of the body. Let's take a look at the 10 characteristics tonight. We have 10 rather than our traditional 7. 10 characteristics of the person with the gift of mercy. And before I list them, I'd like to just say that mercy is the most sensitive and the most tender of all the gifts. One reason, perhaps, why men have a tendency to shy away from it is because men have a hard time being tender sometimes because, well, I don't know why. Maybe it's because our environment, maybe it's our culture, maybe it's because we've been taught that macho men are big and tough and they don't know how to be tender. They can't be tender. But I believe that they can be and they should be because Jesus certainly was tender and Jesus was certainly a man among men. So if you're married to a mercy person, as many of us are, you need to remember that they can be hurt very, very easily, and their hurt is not like the rest of us. What do I mean by that? I mean that their hurt goes deep inside. It's not something that just sort of hits, ooh, that smarted, and then we're on our way. Not at all. They can actually experience physical pain as a result of emotional hurt. A mercy person can actually say that their head hurts, their brain hurts. You ever heard anybody say their brain hurts? Now, I know some of ours does when we think a lot and are forced to think. Our brain can sometimes get weary and tired. But a person who's a mercy person can actually have physical pain because of their compassion for people. The person with the gift of mercy has the ability... Where are we here? Number one, the person with the gift of mercy has the ability to feel an atmosphere of joy or distress in an individual or in a group. That's number one that we just had there on the screen. They have a high level of sensitivity. In other words, they feel where others simply become emotional. Big difference. One is an inner, deep feeling that lingers and holds on, and sometimes it can be for years. You'll see that later on. While others are a passing emotion that comes, not the same. Family, group, church, mercy sees joy in all. They see it in the home, they see it in the church, they see it in the community. Joy or sadness, they have a keen perception, the gift, the ability to feel the atmosphere around them. Number two, they have a tendency to be attracted to and understand people who are having mental or emotional distress. Let me give you an example. Gifts of service that we've talked about before. The person with a gift of service sees persons in need physically or financially, etc., etc. Mercy looks, however, beyond the physical needs of individuals to their inner person and sees the inner emotional pain that somebody is having. You seldom see people with emotional or mental struggles that they're going through coming to a prophet or going to a teacher for advice or encouragement. Generally, they're drawn to the person who has a mercy gift. The reason for this is that people can sense the spirit of mercy. They come to the individual with mercy knowing they're not going to be pushed away, laughed at, mocked, or ridiculed, or put down. Have you ever sensed somebody that you can go to because you know they'll understand? Because they can accept you? Because they feel what you're feeling? They're sensitive to your needs. That person has a mercy gift and you are drawn to those individuals. Yes, Gary. I think it would certainly be a good indicator, Gary, if people are coming to you and sharing their troubles and their burdens with you, and especially the real test would be is if they're vulnerable with you. In other words, not just telling you the latest scuttlebutt in the community. A lot of people will come to a lot of people with that. But when somebody comes to you and shares their inner soul with you and are willing to be open and share things with you that you know in your heart they would not have shared with the average person, that is a pretty strong indication, yes, you have a gift that they recognize and they have confidence and trust in you. And as long as you're walking in the Spirit, you will honor and respect that trust. Good question. Number three, they have a desire to remove hurts and bring healing to others rather than to look for the benefits of hurts. You remember I alluded to this a couple of times during the last few weeks we've been together. We talked about the gift that doesn't mind seeing a person in physical pain or emotional duress. Do you remember that character? Who in the world was that man we talked about? He didn't mind. If you were hurting, let him alone. Let him hurt. What kind of a character? Who was that? That was the gift of exhortation, right. Who was the person that had the gift? The apostle? Paul, that's right. You'll recall Paul probably had more pain in his life, more physical pain, and perhaps at times emotional pain than any other writer of the New Testament. Paul understood emotional pain. But you see what happens? Mercy can't stand to see somebody have emotional pain, for they feel that pain themselves. Let me give you an example. There are some people that cannot stand to see blood or can't stand to see somebody cut themselves. In fact, just talking about it sends pains up and down some of your legs tonight. That's a type of reaction that a mercy person has, only much, much more. They feel the pain in their heart, in their mind, their whole body senses the pain that another person is going through. Not just physical, but emotional pain is what I'm talking about. So, mercy can't stand pain. They want to see pain relieved. And they argue with the person who has the gift of exhortation and say, how do you know that God is working on them? And the person with exhortation says, because that's the steps that God has to take man through. Remember, steps. They have to lead you through certain steps before you can reach the point that God is trying to get you to. So leave them alone. The exhorter will say, I can't, the mercy person will say, I can't leave them alone. They can't hurt like this. Because when they hurt, I hurt. I don't like to hurt. I don't want them to hurt. Then we'll all feel better if I can help them through their hurt. And poor exhorter says, listen, if you don't let them hurt and leave them alone, then as soon as they feel better, God's going to have to smite them again. And they'll hurt all over again. Now that sounds pretty gross, doesn't it? The God's around smiting people. Don't get me wrong. But does not those whom God loves, that doesn't sound like a good sentence. Let me try it again. Is it not true that those whom God loves, He chastens, He chastises, He rebukes? Is it not true that He really does allow things to happen to us to bring us to Calvary? Sure He does. That's His process. And the exhorter recognizes the process. So he's telling mercy, if God is the one that is allowing them to suffer, then by all means, don't be too quick to run to their aid. Because running to their aid then allows them a breathing room so that they can stop the process of growth. And the exhorter says, let him grow. Let him get beyond the pain to victory in Christ. But the mercy person has a terrible hard time conceding to the exhorter. Do we need both in the church? Yes. And mercy people, don't be too quick to come to the aid of an individual who is hurting. Let me give you an illustration of what I mean. In some families, fathers and mothers are both blessed with the gift of mercy. And when Junior, and it can happen to girls as well, are in financial need, the mercy father, the mercy mother, says, oh, we've just got to help them out. They're having such a hard time financially. And so another check is written. Sometimes the checks are even written on credit cards. We draw even on bank accounts or savings accounts in order to send a check to our son who's really hurting this month. He just can't make it. Now, if they continue that process month after month, and the parents continue to give more and more and more to their hurting, emotionally needing children, they'll discover that every month there is more and more need to send more and more money. And eventually, one of two things will happen. They'll either get smart and allow their children the opportunity to struggle and to go through some of those crises and learn some lessons, or they're going to run out of money. I like what one young man wrote to his father when he was in college. Perhaps you heard it before. He wrote to his dad and said, no mon, no fun, your son. His father wrote back to him and says, so sad, too bad, your dad. Now, either he was a mercy person that learned a lesson, or he never was a mercy person. But whichever way it is, we need to allow people to gain experiences, sometimes even through emotional trauma in their life. And we need to learn where that balance is. Number four, they have a greater concern for the mental distress than the physical distress of others. Whereas the prophet reaches out with words, and the gift of service reaches out with things or physical help, the gift of mercy reaches out with love and compassion or with a genuine caring spirit. Number five, they have a sensitivity to words and actions which will hurt others. If you're around a mercy person and you speak harshly to another person, Mr. and Mrs. Mercy will rise up instantaneously. They just cannot sit still. They have the ability to project themselves into the actual feelings of the other person. So if you hurt another person, they're there. They know how harsh words can hurt, and they feel these words as if they had been spoken to themselves. If mercy is walking in the flesh, and you happen to say something derogatory to another person in their presence, you'll wish you hadn't. Because mercy person, he or she will come unglued on you because they feel what you just transferred onto another individual. Even though it wasn't directed at them, they feel it. And they're very sensitive. Number six, they have a tendency to react harshly when intimate friends are rejected or hurt. The person with the gift of mercy is extremely loyal to their friends and to their family. Have you ever heard the old saying that blood flows thicker than water? It is true. There are some family units that if you say anything about even the fourth or fifth cousin down the road, even if it's a gentle rebuke as an exhorter has the privilege to do, watch out, because blood does flow thick. They stay close together. So it is with a mercy person. Their family is basically anybody that hurts. But they have special friends. And if they have special friends or family members that are being rejected or hurt, they can take that sensitivity or rejection and transfer it onto themselves so quickly that you'd think that they were the ones that were actually being rejected. they have that ability to transfer the feelings onto themselves. And in a sense, they are rejected when you reject their friends. Because to reject their friend means you've rejected them. You know, it's interesting. Jesus must feel that way sometimes, huh? Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of them, you've done it unto me. Could be part of God's great mercy gift that He senses rejection. And when you reject His children, He senses the feeling you've rejected me. God has the gift of mercy. And that would be all right, wouldn't it? Certainly, He's sensitive every time you and I are rejected. God senses that as well. Number 7. Were you? I'll give it to you and you can copy it down. All right? There you go. Number 7. An ability to sense genuine love and have a greater vulnerability to deeper and more frequent hurts from the lack of love. Number 7 actually has two parts to it. First, a mercy person knows when a person's love is genuine and when it's insincere. They can tell you if they're faking or just putting on a mask, or whether they are phony is what we would call them. If you're giving lip service, mercy person can detect that just by hearing you speak. They know by the tone of your voice. They can see it in your face. They sense whether you're honest or whether you are dishonest. They can tell by what comes out of your mouth and the way you say it. Now, you can't pull anything over on a mercy person. There's 11 of you here tonight that are pretty sharp. And you know your mate, if you are married, and I didn't check to see how many are married out of that, but you know if your mate is trying to pull a big one over on you or not. You can tell, you can spot it in a moment. They know when they're trying to use them, a mercy person knows when you're trying to use them or trying to say things just to please them or to impress them. And frankly, they're neither pleased nor impressed by most people that are using them. Now, the second part of number 7, I mentioned there were two parts. They also are more vulnerable to the deeper hurts and the lack of love that oftentimes is expressed in their direction. Let me explain what I mean. When a person with this particular gift of mercy finds themselves in such a strong area of support emotionally, we find that they also have another area that's very weak. We've mentioned this before, that sometimes we have a strong area which is also compensated by a very weak area. That's why we need each other. That's why we need the gifts, and I've mentioned that before. So the person then with a gift of mercy, if you're married to one, needs to sense your protective care, your sincerity, your love for them. They need a lot of emotional reaffirmation and support. And here's why. God has given them a special sensitivity to recognize other people's hurts. Thus, they constantly live on a level which demands emotional attention to others. Beloved, you and I cannot constantly give of anything without replenishing it. Even if we have the gift of giving, we cannot continue to give financial help, even to a church or to children that may need it, without eventually replacing it. So it is with the mercy person. It's constantly giving emotional energy. And unless it's replaced, they can have some tremendous emotional needs and problems themselves. Does that make sense? You know, there are some that have indicated, through studies, etc., of the human body, there are some that have stated that emotional work, head work, mind work, is more taxing on the body than physical work. Have you ever experienced that? So it is with a person that has the gift of mercy, because that's mind work. That's emotional work. That's very sensitive and delicate work, trying to reach out and meet the emotional needs of hurting people. That's giving of the depth of the mind, the soul. And unless there is a reaffirmation, and constant reaffirmation to refill the cup, the mercy person will ultimately break unto that kind of constant giving. Number 8, they have a need for deep friendship in which there is a mutual commitment. And that comes right on the heels of what I've just said. God made marriage a covenant relationship. It's not a one-night stand. The gift of mercy understands about commitment. They're the type of people that when they say, I do at an altar, it's not I did. It's I still do. It's a day-by-day commitment for the rest of their life. A mercy person makes a covenant with another person forever. Very important. They have a deep friendship and a mutual commitment that's needed in their life. Number 9, they have a need to measure acceptance by physical closeness and quality time together. Again, as I mentioned a moment ago, their cup needs to be constantly full because they're always running over onto somebody else. Emotionally, they're always giving and they need genuine reaffirmation. Someone once said that a person needs to have at least 7 strokes a day. And that's probably for all of us. For the mercy person, probably we should double that just to keep their cup overflowing in goodness and mercy. But all of us need at least 7 physical, emotional strokes every day. Now, there was one fellow that when he heard that statement, he was sitting next to his wife, Dave, and he reached over and quickly tapped his wife 7 times on the leg. And that doesn't cut it. 7 contacts during the day. There needs to be 7 emotional or physical strokes. There needs to be a time when a person can walk up to somebody and put their hands on them and say, I care about you. I love you. You're special to me. You're important. 7 times a day. The average person needs that. The average person. Even the prophet needs that. Even the exhorter needs that. The gift of mercy probably needs twice that much. And if you're married to one, make sure you keep their cups full by constant reaffirmation, by a closeness of quality time together. That means shut the TV off. It means to sit down on the davino with them and hold their hand. Just put your arm around them. You don't have to jaw, you don't have to jabber like I often do. Just sit down and put your arm around them and give them a little squeeze. You don't have to say anything. It says it all to a mercy person. They can feel your closeness, but that is a quality time together. When you have your grace at the dinner table, reach across and take their hand. Now maybe some of you, and most of you probably already do that, and take their hand. How about next time when you take their hand, don't let it go when you say amen. If your wife is a mercy person and you are the one that's leading out, don't let go of the hand. They will look up at you and wonder what's happening. They'll look in your eyes because mercy people are very sensitive to other people's needs, and that's the avenue to their soul. So they make contact face to face with people. And they'll look in your eyes and they wonder, what are you doing? Then smile at them and say, I love you. See what happens. Your wife might even cry. And that's all right. Again, they are sensitive. They are tender. And they need to be constantly reaffirmed in quality time. Quality time. Number 10. They have a tendency to close off their spirit to those who are insincere or insensitive. They have a tendency to close off their spirit to individuals who are insincere or insensitive. Mercy will risk rejection. Mercy sees insincerity in service. Mercy sees insincerity in love from time to time. Mercy may see insincerity in a person's speech, in a person's actions, in a person's lifestyle, And when mercy sees that, they withdraw. And they don't care if it even causes them rejection. They cannot stand hypocrisy or phony people. And they cannot stand a mate that's phony either. And they will generally let you know, in one way or another, that you are. Now, it's always nice if they tell you that while they're walking in the Spirit. But if they're walking in the flesh, you don't want to hear from them. Let's take a look at what they're like when they walk in the Spirit. Some of their little attributes that are a real blessing to you and to those about you. When walking in the Spirit, they're attentive. They know what's happening all around. They sense joy. They sense pain. Number two, they're sensitive. Sensitivity. They have their little feelers out. They're watching to see and feel other people's hurts and needs. Number three, they're fair. They treat everyone tenderly and fairly. Doesn't matter if you're a family member or not. Your only qualification is, are you hurting? If you are, their arms are around you. They're there. They're writing you a letter. They're sending you something through the mail. They may sign their name. They may not sign their name. But they're there to touch you. They're there to reaffirm you. They're there to support you. They're there to nurture you. And they're fair to all people. Doesn't matter who you are. Don't care what the color of the skin or whether you can even speak their language. If they sense a pain, they usually touch you. They usually let you know they care. They have compassion. Number four. They feel and suffer along with other people, young or old. Five, they have a gentleness. They move in slowly and tenderly to help people. They're not offensive. Number six, deference. Willing to submit. They respect other people's rights. They will not force their way on anyone. Number seven, meekness. They have a spirit of humility and are willing to suffer with others. Those are tremendous attributes, folks. If we can continue to have those attributes in our church, then nobody should be hurting very long in God's church. Unless, of course, Paul is here and makes them hurt. But we can get on with life, even with Paul around. Let's take a look now at when walking in the flesh, what happens to them. This is sad. When mercy starts walking in the flesh, their attentive spirit becomes an unconcerned attitude or spirit. They just plain don't care anymore. When their cup is run out, they no longer are concerned about you. Why? Because they're hurting themselves. And they are more concerned about themselves than they are others. Their sensitivity becomes calloused. They become tough and lose their tenderness, their gentleness. That often happens with men. Probably more so than with women. Number three, their fairness becomes partial. They tend to choose sides, usually their own. Have mercy on me. They're feeling sorry for themselves. Again, compassion becomes indifference. They could care less if others are hurting. After all, I've shed enough tears for you. See if I'm going to cry over you anymore. You ever know anybody do that? Give up on you. And last week they were crying with me and praying with me and caring for me. Now they won't even look at me. Well, you need to pray for them. You need to get your arms around them and fill their cup up a little more. It's probably a little dry. Their compassion has become indifference. Number five, their gentleness has become harshness. Their response becomes harsh and unkind. And that should be a clue to other mercy people that you need to move in on that individual and fill their cup. Number six, their deference turns into plain rudeness. They become rude in their dealings with others. Number seven, their meekness turns to anger. Their tender, loving mercy can explode into anger. Again, as gentle as they can be and as tender as they can be, the opposite is also true. So think of how gentle and tender a mercy person could be. Then take that to the opposite extreme, and that's how extreme a mercy person can be when in the flesh. You don't want to meet a mercy person whose cup is empty and walking in the flesh. They can become angry and very verbal, very defensive. Blessed are the merciful, my Bible says, for they shall obtain mercy. Beloved, do you need mercy tonight? I do. Do you? We all need mercy. Mercy is what comes to cover our hurting hearts, our broken hearts. We need mercy. Where sin is, there mercy abounds, because it's a gift of grace that God has bestowed to His people. When there are sinners in the church, we need mercy people to woo them and win them and draw them back to God. I thank God that you are here. I thank God that we have mercy people in this church. And I pray that if your cup is empty, that you'll go to Jesus. And let God fill your cup so that you can come back to the church and fill those of us who are hurting from time to time. Will you do that? Stay close to Jesus and let that be good advice for all of us, no matter what our gift might be. What do you say? Father in heaven, we thank you for the many gifts you've given to this church, for these seven in particular that we've talked about and studied, the gifts that motivate us for ministry and service. May we not only identify again, Father, that gift in our life, but may we learn how to use it, and may we be trained how to use it, so that we might use it effectively to win people for your kingdom. Help us, Father, those among us tonight who may have this gift of mercy, to truly reach out and use that gift to the hurting hearts that are among us as a church. And Father, for those of us that may not have that gift, may we pray for those who do, and may we uplift their hands that they might truly reach out and touch the lives, the minds of those who are sorrowing tonight for whatever reason. Bless us as a body, Father, and whatever gift we have, multiply our effectiveness in our church and community. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.